AgTech 360 discusses breakthrough technologies that are impacting growers, businesses, and consumers. Hear from industry and academic experts about what's on the horizon.
Hi, everyone. I'm Adrian Percy, Executive Director of the NC Plant Sciences Initiative. Now, throughout the growing season, there are many factors that we can see affecting plants, such as pests, disease, weather. But today we're going to talk about something that's very critical that we don't often see or perhaps fully understand in all cases, and that's what's happening underground. And I'm delighted to say here to talk to us about soil health and sustainability is Hijani Zoza, and she is the Senior Vice President of Innovation at Yara. Hi, Hijani.
Hello. Hello, Adrian. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the podcast. And what I always like to do with my guests before we get into anything is just learn a little bit about them and their background. So tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you got into this industry and ended up at Yara.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. I always start introducing myself as stating that I am passionate about agriculture and food production. And as a background, I am an agronomist by education, but I was born and raised on a farm, so I'm a farmer by heart as well. And yeah, I've been in this industry for the past 17 years, so working in different areas, especially focused on crop nutrition, but you know, leading different areas within Yara, such as agronomy, sales, marketing, R&D, innovation, product management, you name it. And now, recently, 18 months ago, I have taken the challenge of leading up our Global Innovation Unit, which is responsible for developing new solutions for our customers.
So let's talk a little bit about, what you work on and soil health. So what are some of the common problems that you've seen that we are facing when it's related to soil health?
Well, I think that we can actually, start with the most pressing threats. I would say that we can describe that are important globally, at a global scale, if you like. And soil erosion is still a very important problem that we notice. The loss of soil organic matter, which is critical for us to have food security, is also a pressing issue for us to address. I believe that soil nutrient mining and nutrient imbalance and also, divergent nutrient use efficiency index across the globe is also one of the challenges. And obviously, linked to also uses of fertilizer, we have acidification, sometimes salinization, solidification as problem. And now, as we see farmers also transitioning more towards, no tillage practices and cover cropping and crop rotation, for instance, and using heavy machineries, we also noticed some issues related to soil compaction. But I would say that, if I must highlight the most important ones for me, it would be obviously the soil erosion. Right, we know that normally it's average numbers. It takes us 100 years to form 1 centimeter of topsoil. So, the loss of the topsoil because of, rainfall and wind, because of lack of proper coverage is for sure one key challenge globally. The low organic matter content in some of the areas due to the excessive tillage or land use changes, but also because we are not producing biomass enough is also a critical point that we have to be paying attention to. And as I said, the issue related to nutrient use efficiency and nutrient deficiencies and the lack of balanced nutrition is also a key challenge for soil health. So if you want to talk about this on the long term, it's important that we pay attention to those topics.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously Yara is a producer and seller of fertilizers amongst other things. And, you've referenced that a little bit. In terms of what is the contribution then of fertilizers, both in, terms of perhaps some of these challenges, but also in terms of helping to overcome some of the problems that you've just described?
Yeah, no, I like to quote one of my colleagues and one of our scientists, and he always says that, you know, there is no sustainable food production without fertilizers, right? So I think this is very important that we highlight, but it's also critical to say that fertilizers, they have to be applied correctly, right? So as the, equally important as the fertilizer you apply is the knowledge and the technology that you're using to actually apply in the field. So ensuring that we can use, for instance, the framework like the 4R nutrient stewardship principles as, you know, using the right nutrient source at the right rate, at the right time, and in the right place is critical because that can obviously increase the nutrient use efficiency. That is going to be also impact the crop productivity and the yield that we can take out of 1 hectare. And at the same time, this is critical for us to also reduce the environmental footprint of agriculture on the long run. So ensuring that we can provide the right quantity of nutrients is critical because we don't want nutrient use efficiency to be higher than 100%, because that would mean that the crops are mining the soil, but it cannot be also lower than 80-85%, because that means that we are applying more than we should. Right. So I think that working with this safe corridor for nutrient use efficiency is something quite important. And at Yara, we do believe that, you know, the sustainable management of crop nutrition is critical to when it comes to regenerative agriculture and sustainable way of producing food.
Absolutely. So what I wanted to do with you is look a little bit backwards and then perhaps more importantly, look, forwards in terms of new technologies and approaches that the market may adopt, over the coming years. But first, maybe you could talk a little bit about how you've seen fertilizer production and use changing over the last couple of decades, the last 10 to 20 years.
Yeah, at Yara, we have been in this business since 1905, right? So we always say that it's more than a century in fertilizer production. And how we see the main changes happening over the past 2 decades is we have changed our business model that has been developed from focusing on our asset and product base, pretty much industrial background, ensuring that we could have operational excellence. And we moved this business model more towards, you know, focusing on the farmers and complete solutions. So it was transitioning from, okay, this is what we produce, more towards what can we produce that can support farmers to succeed. And for many years, we have been offering, for instance, the complete range of nutrients that the crops are requiring for optimizing the yield and the quality. And over the past decades, we are really dedicating time and resources to R&D. So understanding the crops, the needs, the farmers' profiles in the different geographies we operate globally is pretty important for us to create solutions programs that are going to be delivering what the crops need and ultimately supporting those crops to produce more and to be more resilient to the abiotic stresses and also to the disease pressures. So it is about, you know, developing those recommendations to support farmers. And I think that one key change we have for our business at least is focusing on digital to actually support us to make sure that the knowledge that has been developed over time is going to be available for millions of farmers. And it's not going to be in the heads of our agronomists only. And I think that when you look at the flagship digital offering that we have been creating, they are mainly focused on crop nutrition recommendation. Because for me, it's pretty important that we understand that knowledge that you know, actionable is what is important, right? We have to make sure that knowledge reaches the farmers. And I think that this is pretty much what has changed over time. It's moving from this is what I can produce to more. What I can produce is delivering on the needs of farmers and then pretty much focus on the crops and the specific needs of the geographies we operate in.
Yeah, so it's a much more nuanced use of these types of products today than perhaps it was a number of years ago. Is that essentially what you're saying?
Yes, and if you look at, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we used to be pretty much focused on the nitrogen, right? Not only in the company, but also farmers, right? And now we try to change that perception that is only about one nutrient. If you look at Liebig law, And we talk about the importance of all nutrients and the balanced nutrition perspective is critical. I think that this is what we have been doing over time, is to ensure that instead of only one nutrient, you approach the crops as a holistic perspective and then offer what is needed.
So you mentioned digital tools and, I guess using the product in a much more targeted and efficient and precise manner. Are there other technologies that that are coming to the market or that you're seeing that either Yara or others are developing that you think will help growers continue to be more effective and efficient in the use of their nutrition programs?
No, I think so. I think that starting with what we discussed about soil health, right? I think approaching the soil from that perspective, that is not only about the fertility, but also how is the condition of the soil from a physical and biological perspective, and treating the soil as something integral is critical. But also, we have developed what we call a scalable soil health index, which is pretty much an open door for farmers where they can actually check themselves and their soil health score with comparison with their neighbors. That is a proof of concept that has been developed for European soils down to a 3 by 3 kilometers level of precision. So it is pretty much, you trying to trigger that reflection in terms of how can I use digital tools to help me to understand what is the situation of my soil compared to my neighbors. And, through using analysis and checking the soil health score, how can I improve via techniques the overall soil health of my soil, of my property? And then obviously when we look at the ag tech world, as I said, it's critical that we meet the farmers where they are. Right. So last year we have launched our API-based solution, which is called Yara FX Insights. And this API has been developed with the intention to support the stronger collaboration needs that we have with other partners to build this interconnectivity between our digital services and the digital services that other players are offering to farmers.
The North Carolina Plant Sciences Initiative impacts lives through innovative applications and discoveries. By leveraging cutting-edge research and technology, we address global challenges related to agriculture, sustainability, and human health.
So earlier you mentioned the long-term view, and I guess this is the crystal ball question, if you like. What do you think, or how do you think the production or use of fertilizers are likely to change as we move forward?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think that we constantly strive to make improvements in the fertilizer production, and we are pretty much focusing on two mainstreams when it comes to nitrate-based fertilizers. One is the green fertilizers, which are essential for transforming the food value chain to reduce carbon emissions, because the green fertilizers are going to be pretty much the same nitrate-based mineral fertilizer that the farmers use, so they are not going to notice any change. But these fertilizers, they are produced without fossil energy, right? So it means that we're going to be producing fertilizer using water, because we use this process to get the hydrogen from the water and the nitrogen from the air. So the green fertilizer is going to be a breakthrough, and we just announced some of the partnerships and the first sales, and this is going to be actually concrete this year already, right? Support in the decarbonization of bread production in Europe by providing the green fertilizers. But also, I think that when you look at the crop resilience and the effect of climate change and all the issues related to weather conditions, drought stress and heat stress, or even cold that we see, we bet a lot on the biologicals, right? And biological fertilizers, either biostimulants focused on plant extracts, algae, or even microbials. I think that they're going to be extremely important breakthroughs for the future. So those products for us, they are pretty much part of the focus for the upcoming year. And then when you look at, practices per se, we do believe that regenerative agriculture is an important way forward to decarbonize the food system and make farming a more nature positive and resilient to climate shock. And I think that even though definition of what regenerative agriculture really means requires some more alignment externally, we do understand that there are some specific points that you have to tackle if you want to move towards a regenerative agriculture perspective. So it has enormous potential when it comes to, nutrient use efficiency, when it comes to addressing soil health, supporting the decarbonization in field by reducing the carbon intensity. And if agriculture can be more productive, obviously, this can also impact on the biodiversity because if we can produce more food in the same land we have, then we're going to be needing to expand less fields. And I think it's also important that we think from a food loss and food waste perspective, what can be done to ensure that the whole value chain is more efficient, that we can reduce the losses.
I mean,
But
that's.
ultimately, I think that what is critical is that for all of this to happen, we have to be able to recommend, measure, report, and verify. Because, it's not a change that is going to happen, by chance, right? So we need to make sure that we are able to measure, because if we can measure, we can manage. And if we can manage, we can improve. And I think that in this context, specifically ag tech, the use of digital and hardware is pretty key in the solution development.
I mean, it's a really fascinating view of the future. I mean, I'm very positive when you think of, what you've just described, green production of fertilizer, less dependence on fossil fuels to produce, the use of biologicals, which of course are already making inroads into the market. And then, very importantly, as you said, tapping into all of these technologies so that practices can be as efficient as possible. So a lot of movement, it sounds like, in the fertilizer business in the next 10 years or so.
Yeah, no, we are pretty excited. As I said, if you look at the challenges that we have in terms of the planet, the 1.5 degree and the decarbonization plans, agriculture is responsible for from 20 to 25% of the global greenhouse emissions, but is also one of the most important levers we can pull in order to make the change. So that's why I remain positive about the future, even though I think that it's going to be a tough, let's say, pathway for us to go. But ultimately, I do believe that farmers, they want to do what is right for the planet, and they want to make good decisions for the business as well. So yeah, it's up to companies and to all the stakeholders to ensure that we can support the farmers in that transition.
Well, I think that's a perfect message to finish on. So, Rajani, thank you so much for joining me from Oslo today.
Thank you very much for having me, Adrian.
AgTech 360 shares relevant news and breakthroughs with audiences across the globe. Stay connected and join the conversation by following NCPSI on social media.